This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
Hey, this is Spencer Garrett. I was Simon Tarsis on Star Trek The Next Generation, and you are listening to Trek FM.
T.O. Greyhawk.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. I'm your host, Amy Nelson, and joined with me today are Justin Ozer and Richard Marquez. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you know, as of this recording, I just saw you 2 days ago in Vegas because I was there for a work conference. So always exciting to meet you in person. So that's a real highlight this week for sure.
It was, and I love it when people come to visit me, and coming to Vegas for any conference, that's always a good thing. So, and Richard, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Just really busy today.
Oh, yes. Well, it is a busy time of year. And we have, before we get going into our episode, we have some feedback that we wanted to go over. So Justin, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so as we've been doing for the last few episodes of Earl Grey, I wanted to talk about some feedback we got in the Babel Conference. So we had done a couple of episodes on Michael Piller's work on The Next Generation, specifically episodes that he wrote or co-wrote, and we got some good feedback on that. So Grant Davis said, "I'm really enjoying listening to this episode. I kind of always felt like Michael Piller doesn't get the credit he deserves for all his contributions to Trek. I also think the what-if discussion of how the show might have been different if Picard was killed off might make an interesting topic for a future show." So thank you, Grant.
Yeah, and Greg Malumbi says, "I think this is the episode I've been waiting for Earl Grey to do since the podcast started. And yes, I'm talking about since the old crew. So this is going back a few years. Everyone seems to list Roddenberry, Moore, and Baer as the key writer-producers of Trek. But I've always said, if Roddenberry created the legacy, Piller created the franchise. He saved TNG, and I dare say he made TNG what we know and love today."
Excellent. Thanks, Greg. So we also had asked in one of those episodes for Greg Rozier to post a picture of his cosplay of Michael Piller, which he did. He said, "I finally made it to these episodes in my queue. Great overview of Michael Piller's contributions to TNG. In my opinion, he earned a prominent position on the Mount Rushmore of Trek. And sorry it's late, but here's the STLV photo, which Amy Nelson asked for." And there's his cosplay photo. So if you haven't seen it, take a look. It's in the thread for Earl Grey 198.
Yeah, it is so good. I'm so glad that he was able to post that picture. And yeah, seeing him, it was so great. He was spot on. We also had a wonderful email from Eric Mantle, and we asked in the Michael Piller if anyone could defend Nemesis. That would be me.
No, that would, that would be, yeah. No. We could add that in there. Yeah, Nemesis. Yes, Nemesis.
I'm sorry. So we asked for anyone to defend Insurrection. And so Eric Mantle says, "In your latest show, someone mentioned writing in to defend Insurrection. I feel the need to take up this call. Insurrection has had a special place in my heart since seeing it in the theater. It may have been the first movie I'd seen as a true Trek fan. I immediately loved it. I have always considered it the Trek movie that is most like a TV episode, which is surely where Trek shines brightest. That's a very good point. I wish I had been more involved in the Trek community in the 90s when Trek was at its best. What an amazing time to live in with all the series and the movies going on. It was so much in our cultural conscience. Sorry, back to Insurrection itself. I love the humor in the episode and the evolution of the characters. It was wonderful to see Troy and Riker finally get together. It was also great to see Picard finally meet the right woman. I thought it was beautiful the way she could slow down time and that it wasn't fully explained, lending it a mystical quality. Only a woman who have lived so long yet still look rather young being right for Jean-Luc. I love the family dynamic. What a reveal when we find out that these are the actual children of the characters. And the bad admiral over his head was maybe not unique, but very dramatic. Also, there were some truly great Data moments. First Contact would be considered the best Trek movie, but this, subjectively, will always be my favorite. It is a TV episode made large, and I just love it. Star Trek belongs on television and is finally back with Discovery and Orville, sort of. Yeah, it would have been nice to explore the Dominion War more and even connect it to DS9, which is now my favorite series. But hey, just enjoy it for what it is. Live in the moment, right? Eric, thank you so much for that wonderful email. And it's true. Everyone has their favorite and everyone may or may not agree with you. So I really appreciate your thoughts and agree with you. It is a great TV episode turned into a movie.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. I mean, we wanted to put that call out because it's always great to have other perspectives and to see why people might love something. So I really appreciate you taking the time to write us all of your thoughts on that.
I'm going to have to decide what Eric DS9 is the best. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, definitely it was very nice to see that email. And you know, Eric actually and I have been conversing back and forth about DS9, and it's I'm glad that we're able to converse with the listeners. So thank you, Eric, for bringing that conversation to light. And I'm glad you are now with us as a Star Trek fan. So thank you for listening.
So when this episode drops, it is dropping on Halloween, October 31st, and we wanted to do something very special for this day. So I'm interested to know, how many Halloween parties are you going to, and did you dress up as any Star Trek characters? Justin?
You know, I'm not usually one for Halloween parties, and I have only dressed up a few times in my adult life, so maybe I'm not the best person to ask. Maybe Richard has more interesting stuff to say.
Actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because yesterday my daughter did it was like a spooky run is what it was. So obviously everyone dresses up in whatever you want, and she dressed up as a fox. But the greatest thing I saw over there was I saw three red shirts, like zombies. And it was friggin' hilarious. I loved it. I was like, oh, but I didn't have my camera. So
so they actually had the red shirt TOS uniform?
Yep. One was a girl, and obviously, yeah, one was a girl, and she had the skirt on, and it was the TOS one. There was there were two other guys that were red shirts as well, and you know, the uniform's all ripped up and everything, and obviously it's not one of those Novos or, you know, it's one of those cheap ones, yeah, that are all ripped up and blood all over that. So it was great. I loved seeing that. It was just absolutely awesome yesterday. And, you know, even though my daughter whined 75% of it, but that's okay. But, you know, kids.
Awesome. But. Well, I'm going to a Halloween party tonight, but I will not be dressing up. It's a pirate themed Halloween party, so I won't be using any of my Star Trek cosplay. My friend who invited me, she's like, well, you need to wear the ears at least. And it's like, oh dear, well, we'll see.
Don't you have a patch, an eye patch or something like that?
Oh, right. Oh, and I could put like the Delta badge on the eye patch. That would be
sure,
cool.
You could do that. I was just thinking in spirit of the pirate thing, but yeah.
The pirate, yeah.
You know, the people on that ship in Gambit, they're kind of like space pirates. Could wear one of their outfits.
Exactly.
We should whip all that up for tonight.
Well, listeners, if you have any of your Halloween TNG costumes that you're wearing to any parties, we would love to see them so you could post your pictures and we could all enjoy wonderful Halloween together. Well, we are going to talk about today, since it is Halloween, some themes of spooky and scary scenes from The Next Generation. We've each come up with a list of three scenes or episodes that scare us. And we haven't shared our list with each other, so it's going to be very interesting to see if there's any duplicates. Usually, we don't have an order when we do our list. We just sort of talk through it. But I'm going to ask that we go from our least scary up to the ultimate scary, spooky scene. So I'm very excited. So, Richard, give us your third choice. What scene or episode was scary to you?
Well, I'm going to call back to Encounter at Farpoint, and we see this little boy come out of onto the set, and by the name of Wesley Crusher. That's my skin.
No, you are so terrible.
I'm just kidding. I guess I was just looking at my list and I went from top to bottom. So anyway, I'll just do the least one. So one of the scariest movies that I ever watched as a child was the 1977 The Incredible Melting Man. I don't know if anyone's seen that before. Oh wow, that thing gave me nightmares. And I only watched the parts where his face was melting and everything. And you can imagine how scary that is. I don't know how old I was, probably like 8 or something like that. But like, it always gave me nightmares. So when Skin of Evil came out and he comes out of that tar pit and everything, it just, wow. It was like, okay. I remember the first time I ever watched that and it gave me nightmares because I thought about the Incredible Melting Man. So as a child, it horrified me. I mean, obviously not so much anymore. I've actually seen the movie since I've been an adult. But but when Armus comes out of the tar pit, that's what, actually any scene of him with the ooze moving and everything, it just freaked me out. So that's my least scariest.
That is a great pick. Armus is very scary and he's so mean. And you're right, when he just comes up out of the black, and that is blackest black. I mean, they did a great job on that production there.
Yeah, they actually covered the guy with, I think it was like printer's ink and water and Metamucil or something. It was like this weird combination. I mean, it's kind of crazy what they did with that outfit, but yeah, that freaks me out too. And I still see that episode and man, this guy is just like the incarnation of evil. So
well, and when
pick.
He pulls Riker in and his face and like his mouth is open and the black ooze goes in,
yeah,
it's like, oh!
Oh my gosh, I couldn't even do that scene. Not even as an actor. There's no way. There's not enough money you could have me to do that one.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That is a great pick. I'm very excited. All right, Justin, give us your third scariest moment.
Well, it comes from Frame of Mind. I know we talked about this episode a little bit recently, but, you know, especially, and I was rewatching it a little bit today. So, you know, the episode starts out, he's doing this play about this guy that's going insane. And at the end of the teaser, there's this weird looking lieutenant. And you're not sure what to make of it. And then it kind of goes along through Riker's day and he does the performance. And then all of a sudden, like at the end of the performance, he really is in this mental hospital. That always just, as many times as I see it, that always just freaks me out. This idea that you don't know what's real and what isn't, and you have to break through all these different layers. Like if I found myself in that situation, it would just be so frightening not knowing what's going on or why you're in this situation, what you did to be in this asylum and not be able to get out. It's really frightening.
Yeah. I actually was going to choose that one, but I was like, you know what? One of you guys is going to choose that. I was like, yeah, I'll just leave it alone. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, that freaks me out too.
Well, I had that, but so it's a good thing I have multiple lists, but that's your third. That's like way, no, that's scarier.
What you're surprised that there are two more that,
yes,
I think are scarier.
Okay.
Than
so
that?
Night or Frame of Mind, like that to me is a psychological thriller because that's a different kind of scary. Like that's in your mind. And seeing that, I get scared. And every time on his forehead, when the wound opens up again, and you're like, yeah, oh my gosh, it is just scary. And then the scene with the glass shattering as he's going and from reality to reality, like that is scary. Scary to the brain. You know, I can't believe that's your third.
You guys just reminded me of a horror movie I haven't seen in years, and it freaked me out as a kid.
What one?
So I don't know what it is. Everyone keeps on telling me it's Scanners, but it's not. It's because I've seen Scanners, and it's this movie. I want to say I was like 10 or something like that. And it's this movie where this guy goes to hospital, doesn't know who he is, and he's got this slit in his forehead. And he always wears bandages, and I guess the reason why is because there's an alien that's inside of him that comes out of that slit in his forehead and kills whoever the nurse is or whoever is nearby or something like that. And I don't remember how it ends, but that freaked me out. That freaked me out as a kid. And I still to this day do not know what that is. So if anyone knows, please tell me because I've been trying to figure that out for the last 15 years.
Oh my goodness.
Hopefully someone will be able to figure that out so that you can rewatch it and
right?
get another nightmare.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Wow. Well, we'll have to see as we go along, Amy, if you feel like that deserved to be my number three compared to the other two.
Okay. Well, I would bump that up, but that's your third choice, so that's good. But I definitely agree with you in that I like those type of psychological thrillers that's, yeah, not all gory and stuff like that. Well, my third pick, just sort of, and it's an entire episode, Genesis. That's scary to me. Everyone's being, you know, taken back to their earlier state, I guess you would. We've got Troy turning into this amphibian, and she's changing the humidity and getting in the bathtub and, you know, just crazy. And Riker's this proto-human that's going around, whoo, you know. The attention to detail, like they even turn Livingston, Captain Picard's fish, into a jellyfish. Spock gets into this reptile. Barclay turns into a spider. And Worf is just like this big armored, you know, I mean, the costumes in this episode are just so crazy and creative. I just think it's scary. So I chose Genesis.
I could see that. It doesn't scare me. I think it's a little silly sometimes. Oh. I don't know. What do you think, Richard?
Genesis was actually number two for me, was my next one.
Okay.
None of it was scary except for Barclay. As a spider.
Oh.
That was the only thing that was scary about it. Or maybe creepy. I don't know. That could be it, too. But, yeah. Actually, I was going to mention about the chase scenes with Worf and Deanna. Like,
right? That's
see,
right.
They're meant to be.
See?
They're meant to be biologically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're going back to their, you know, their inner desires.
Now,
and
I don't know
Worf
if she wants
trying
her,
to,
but he wants her.
Well, he wanted her, yes, and that's always good. The chase is on.
I mean, it's good what they're doing. Just some, I don't know what it is. There's just something about it that I find it hard to be scared by or to take it seriously. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right. Well, let's see what's a little bit more scarier than that. So, Justin, if Genesis didn't scare you, give us your number two.
Well, it's going to come from Night Terrors. Now, I rewatched this today, and that's a totally frightening episode where everybody can't dream, so they're kind of slowly going insane. And the one in particular is when Dr. Crusher is working in the morgue with these people that have died on the other ship, and through apparently succumbed to paranoia and insanity. And she sees all of the corpses like sit up at once. I'm like, just always freaks me out. I think it's one of the scariest things ever just to see that. Of course, it's in her mind, but when you see that, it's just, it's so frightening. And, you know, they do this so well, the actors that are in the episode, in kind of showing you how they're just kind of slowly breaking down over weeks of time. I think it's a totally frightening episode, and that morgue scene gets me every time. What do you think?
Yeah, it definitely gets your it'll definitely get you your heartbeat up.
I was just, when you were describing that, my heart was beating faster, because that I also recently watched that scene. And that is scary because, yeah, you know it's in her mind, but oh my gosh, and the visual with just the sheets over their bodies and they're all sitting up, and so she's backing up, and then there they are behind her, and the camera work and the music of it all really puts you
and it's
in
not,
the moment.
And what freaks you out about it is that it's not like the bodies come up slowly or anything like that. It's just, it cuts one scene, and then next you know it, another scene, and they're all up. It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
And before that, she's just hearing some rustling. So she's like, what is going on? Yeah. Because she hears like the rustling, I guess, in the, you know, bags that they're in the morgue. And yeah, it totally just freaks me out. And there's even little things in the episode, like Picard's in his ready room and he hears, you know, the chime, and he's like, come in. Nobody comes. He hears it again, come in. And it happens a couple of times, and he looks out and there's nobody there. And then he goes back in, and then it's again, and nothing is happening. He's trying to ignore it. And then he hears like a knock on the door, and he's kind of freaked out, like, who knocks on this door? And you think that it's going to be something freaky, but it's just, you know, Crusher and Troy. But I mean, there are like little like psychological things where you can see how they're just kind of slowly going crazy, and they can't.
I'd be freaked out if I saw Wesley on the other side of that door too.
Richard.
Richard's number one scene is going to have something to do with Wesley. That's my prediction.
Shh, don't give it away.
Well, I also have Night Terrors as my number two, so we'll continue talking about it. Obviously, the Crushers with the bodies sitting up, but I mean, also from that, like, you, when Picard is in the turbo lift and he's like screaming, I mean, you can just feel how scared he is with it, and you don't even know what he's scared of. Mm-hmm. You know, but
it seemed like he was afraid, like the top of the turbo lift was going to come and crush him, or something, or like he was
like
going to float up
against the light, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what's going on with our captain? And yeah,
then he's screaming and the turbo lift door opens and they're like, are you okay?
Yeah,
and
he's down
gets
on
up
the
and he's
floor
like,
and is like,
he's like,
as you
nope,
were,
no problem. I'll keep going.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. As you were.
Oh gosh.
But I also, when Troy is in sort of the mind, you know, and she's flying through these dark clouds, and she's
like this greenish dark cloud. It's kind of a creepy color.
Very ominous. And she's screaming, where are you? And you hear this voice, one moon, eyes in the dark, you know, and so it's just that scene is sort of scary to me too, because she doesn't really know where she's going and she wants to try and communicate, but really, and then like this person shape, yeah, I mean, you can't even make it out, but you see it sort of coming out of these clouds and you're like, oh, who's it going to be? What is it? So I definitely, that was scary, that whole episode. Mm. So that was my number two pick. So Richard, what's your number?
Every time I see that scene in Night Terrors, I was like, I'm right here. I was like, jeez, I'm right here. Come on. But every time I see that episode.
Oh, goodness.
But you know what? Actually, at StarTrek.com, they had a poll recently of the scariest episodes, and Night Terrors was number two. This is across all of Star Trek, not just TNG.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
That's definitely. Yeah. And I mean, we've all been tired you know? And so it's such a relatable episode because we've all been tired. And when you're super tired, it just, it messes with your reality.
I was going to say, but I love the idea of the episode. It's not that they can't get sleep and they're sleep deprived. It's that they can't dream. And by being denied that REM sleep, it's driving them crazy. Right. I just love that idea because you wouldn't have thought of that like, oh yeah, you're getting enough sleep, but you're not actually getting the dreams and the whatever you get out of that you need. So it's making you crazy.
So have you ever seen any of, like there are a couple artists out there that, that, you know, paint what they dream and they can't dream like normal people and they paint what they see in their dreams. You ever seen some of those paintings? No,
no,
I don't. I'll have to look it up and find out which ones, because you guys were just reminding me about it. But there are some warped paintings, and I could only imagine if you weren't able to sleep on what you were imagining in your own head, that that you couldn't like reset everything. And some of these artists, I mean, obviously suffer, and it's obviously tragic to be able to or to experience something like that, but you know, they're not able to dream and they're not able to really sleep. It's like a constant insomnia or something like that. But these paintings that some of them create are just wow. You want to talk about nightmares? Some of those are pretty bad, and wow. they're really good. Yeah, I think they're really good. So, but yeah, just FYI, wow. Maybe that's what.
Yeah,
maybe,
I'm going to have okay. to, I'm going to look that up. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's what this episode was based on, people that actually can't actually sleep and dream. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So, all right, Richard, give us your number two pick.
Well, it's more like number three. I already said Genesis. Barkley is crossbred with a spider and, really, that was number two for me.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, then the time has come for our ultimate scare fest. Justin, what is your number one scary scene or episode?
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, I mean, there are a lot of scary scenes or episodes, but for me, it absolutely has to be Phantasms, where Data is dreaming and he sees Troy as a cake and has to take like the slice of her.
Oh my, that's no, scary.
I mean that okay, but
this is also your number within that one?
Scene. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay.
But also within that scene, he sees, you know, Riker like sipping this, has this like this straw and sipping out of Crusher's head. It freaks me out a lot. I mean, and also in this episode, like in real life, Data stabs Troy, which is really frightening. Yes. Like that he actually does that. But that whole like sequence with like, I don't know, maybe you think it's funny, but with like the cellular peptide cake and all that, it frightens me a lot.
Okay. We won't laugh at what frightens you.
Oh, you already did.
So the picture I posted of Jennifer and I, did that freak you out a little bit? No?
What
picture of Jennifer
about?
And I had a straw coming out of her head. No, it's, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, clearly what I find... So you liked my first two picks, right? Frame of Mind and Night Terrors. But anyway, let's move on because clearly my number one pick does not meet your approval.
Well, sorry. Oh, wow. I just did not expect that. That's all.
What did you expect me to choose?
I'll tell you.
Well,
I'll tell
frame
you.
Frame of Mind?
I'll tell you, because I actually figured you were gonna take my first number one. So, but I'll tell you now.
Okay, Richard, tell us.
I thought, and I swear to God, I thought you were going to choose Conspiracy. When
I was thinking about it, but we talked about it so much before. I don't know.
Yeah.
But not in this theme, but yeah, you're right.
I thought you were going to choose Conspiracy, considering that his head blows up and the queen. I mean, I absolutely love this scene because obviously back then it was shock value. That's really what the scene was. But I mean, it was so creative on how they did it. And it did it for me. I absolutely loved the scene. Now it's not my most scariest. I actually already revealed my first one, which was Skin of Evil, but Yeah, sorry.
Well, and you're right with conspiracy. Like that scary scene, that little creature crawl up his leg and just slowly, right? You're getting all squirmish and climbs up his arm and into his mouth. And you're like, oh, like that's scary.
I'm not scared of like spiders or bugs or anything like that. What scares the daylights out of me when it comes to like bugs is when they crawl on me. That's yes. what I hate about them.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Now, listeners, we're all like squirming in our seats as we're talking about this. Yeah. Well, so was that your, Richard, your scariest?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So my scariest, since we sort of already talked about frame of mind, was schisms. And that the one scene where they go into the holodeck to create the table and the scene where they all remember and they're like, no, it was a table that's higher and it's incline. And they're just slowly working together to put together this room that they all have been in, but they don't know it. And then when they add the clicking sounds, that freaks me out. And they've got the big light overhead and it's dark all around. Like that is to me my number one scariest scene because it's the sound. It's that one click, 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 you know, and just the, oh no, it's faster. And I just, it freaks me out. And then you hear it throughout the episode and it's just a remembrance of this is scary, this is freaky. So that's my number one pick.
You know, one thing I like about that scene is that how everyone is, like how accurate it is and how everyone remembers it. Because like, not everyone perceives things the same way, obviously. But like, it's just like, it's like how close and accurate they all are within each other and whatnot. And I would have figured that something like, obscure would happen, you know, or, oh, this happened, or that, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I actually like that episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
No, definitely. it's really good. And that scene's freaky, but also when the hole opens up in the wall and like Riker just like flies out of it,
yeah,
like feet first, that's really scary too.
Like he's going into a pizza oven.
Yeah. And another thing that's scary is like, Riker's arm is broken and reattached. Like, how scary would that be?
No, I think it's like amputated, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
amputated. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would feel that arthritis eventually. I mean, well, would arthritis actually exist?
They're just that good at putting it together.
Would arthritis exist back then? Or back then? you know, in forward in time?
In the future?
Oh, that would be awesome. They could do my ankle. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I mean, it also plays into, you know, fears that you have of being abducted and experiments on you and all that stuff. Because when I was a kid, one of the things that freaked me out the most was thinking about like being abducted by aliens and having experiments done on you. That,
why you gotta bring that up?
I have nightmares about that.
Why you gotta bring that up?
Because this is supposed to be the scariest stuff and I'm making up for my number one choice.
I actually do have one question. This is outside the outline, all right? Because I was just thinking about it, and it reminded me as a kid so much. But do you guys have an all-time Star Trek scariest scene or episode? Like, all-time, through the whole entire thing. Do you guys have the most scariest one?
I do. It may be one that Amy hasn't seen, though.
What? Oh.
It's Deep Space Nine episode.
Okay, I got to hear it.
Okay, all right. Throw me under the bus. All right, tell us.
No, it's got to be Empok Nor, which is actually in that poll on StarTrek.com. That was the number one choice for scariest episode in all of Star Trek because I won't spoil it. Have you seen it, Amy? I don't think you
have. No.
Well, it's just freaky because they go to this similar station to scavenge a part, and it's like a horror movie on this station. What happens? and the lighting and everything is really just creepy.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorites, and mainly because it was dark and basically, I love the whole, you know, playing with O'Brien and what is his name? Garak. Thank you. I love that whole interplay of them talking, and you know, we actually get to know more about O'Brien, but yeah, that's Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm.
You should see it, Amy. It's a good standalone episode.
It is a good one. Yeah, it is. So what my most scariest one, and it's because when I was a kid, I used to have the first edition for the encyclopedia, the Star Trek encyclopedia. So if you were to browse through the first few pages, the picture of Baylock comes up, the one from the Carbonite Maneuver. That picture, for whatever reason, scared the living daylights out of me.
Really?
Oh my god! I don't know. It was like a profile picture, and it's just like, yeah, I don't want to see that. No. And then I at that time I didn't see TOS yet, so I was like, I don't know what episode that's in. So when I went through the TOS, and I'm like, oh no, it's like, oh no, that's that one I don't like. So yeah, that's for me. It was the Carbonite Maneuver mainly because of what the alien looked like. So yeah.
I guess I could see that. Yeah. What about you, Amy? Is there something that you feel like is the scariest thing, and maybe it's not TNG? Or it has to be TNG?
Oh, not TNG.
Or it could be TNG.
Well, I don't know if it's scariest, but one from Enterprise where they're on the Vulcan ship, I think it is.
Oh, and the all zombie the Vulcans? Vulcans?
Yeah,
that's pretty freaky.
That came to mind when you were talking if it's not TNG.
That's funny because actually that first scene in that episode is my favorite. I love that you can tell that, you know, it's her and she's screaming and everything. It's like one of those shock scenes. It's like, whoa, what the heck is going on? And then a cut, Enterprise.
Yeah.
I love that scene. It's great. I mean, granted, you know, I don't particularly like her screaming, but I'm just saying, like, it's one of those episodes you don't have no idea what's going on. Yeah. So awesome.
Well, do you have any other honorable mentions? We've sort of I guess opened it up across the all series, but any others that maybe were scary for some reason and just didn't make the list?
I had a few because I was putting together my list, and there's one which is not within an episode that's scary, but I find it really frightening. So it's actually in theory, which is the one where Data, you know, tries a dating relationship, but the B plot is that there's this nebula that's creating all kinds of issues on the ship. And at one point, Geordi has an officer go down a hallway in order to investigate it, and then he goes with the other officer down the hall, and they hear a scream. This woman screams, and they go back, and she's dead and like embedded in the deck. I just find that just like so frightening just to even think about or to see. So that one gets me for sure.
Could you imagine if that was done today?
What it would look like?
I mean, all of this. Let's just say they remastered TNG and just did everything, redone everything, acting and everything. And with all the graphics and everything, and that would be...
Redoing the acting, too?
Yeah, sure, why not? you sucked in this, Riker. Do it better. But yeah, that definitely freaks me out, too. Yeah,
but it gets me because it's within this episode where it's like, oh, Data's in a relationship. It's kind of interesting and funny and whatever. And then all of a sudden, someone dies and like... is halfway through the deck. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It gets me more so because it's not supposed to be a frightening episode. It just takes you by surprise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have a couple others, but I mean, what did you guys have as maybe honorable mentions?
I didn't have any really, except for those three. So, I mean, the rest of it was, I mean, obviously it can be creepy, but I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had one more... Again, these mind ones sort of get to me, and that's with Beverly Crusher and Remember Me, and just that whole, idea of losing people, and she's slowly coming to realization that these people aren't here anymore. And no, I know that Professor...
No, the Admiral,
yeah,
Doctor something.
Yeah, I know that he's supposed to be here on the ship. Where did he go? And slowly, it's just this, again, this mental of wondering where everyone is going and losing people And that sort of freaks me out. That sort of scares me. So that's my honorable mention.
Yeah, it does for me too, especially toward the end when only Picard is left and she asks the computer to keep track of his vital signs. So it's saying, you know, his heartbeat is this and his blood pressure is this. And all of a sudden it stops.
Yeah.
And she's completely alone. And the computer's telling her the universe is only slightly larger than the ship.
Yes.
So that's just frightening to be in that situation. Definitely.
Welcome to the TNG threatening zone.
Do you have another one?
I wanted to mention one other one. And I think overall it's not a highly regarded episode, but I think it freaks me out a lot, which is Eye of the Beholder, which is a season 7 episode where there's this officer who is working in engineering, I think near the nacelles, and he just all of a sudden, you know, goes up to this plasma stream and says that he knows what he has to do, and he commits suicide and jumps into the stream. Does this ring a bell? Yeah. And like throughout all of it, Troy is trying to figure out what's going on, and it gets to the point where she has, I forget what the mechanism was, but she's picked up whatever this thing is, and she feels like she has to commit suicide herself, and she's like crying and about to like jump into this plasma stream. I mean, I just find that whole thing frightening, that things kind of break down and she gets to that point.
That is a great suspense episode. I actually really like that episode. Yeah, with all the detective trying to figure it out and whatnot, mm-hmm. It's a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And isn't it like at one point they like as part of it, they say that they found like the bones of this other guy from when the ship was constructed. And it's like,
yes!
The bone. I thought it was I don't know. Maybe it's the bones. I don't know. I have to watch it.
No, it is. I mean, I think in the end, it didn't really happen that way. But within this reality that Troy's kind of becoming a part of.
Yeah, the story.
Story, they've found that like this guy's bones have been in the cells like since they launched the ship. So you're thinking like, oh, for the past 7 years, somebody's bones have been in the cells. So it's that one really gets to me. It's really creepy.
I'm surprised they haven't seen a ghost or something like that. Interesting.
Oh, are we talking ghosts? Because we could bring up Sub Rosa.
You know, I actually just was reading about that earlier today. Something about the failure love lives of Beverly Crusher or something like that, and they mentioned that episode as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean that's a little scary.
It was trying to be scary, but it's kind of silly.
It was. I thought it was silly too. Yeah.
Well. Generally speaking, Star Trek is not known for being a scary show. However, after reviewing this list, how do you think Star Trek added this element of scare to the series? What are your final thoughts, Richard?
I think they should have done more scarier ones. Space is not always safe. I think they should have done some more of these kind of episodes to if those suspensebles. I mean, not saying that I'm complaining about what we already got, but definitely some of these episodes, like it would have been nice to see a Christmas one or something, if you know, something they celebrate sort of like that. But yeah, otherwise, yeah,
we have Captain Picard Day.
That's not Christmas.
And when Kern comes by, they bring out a turkey to celebrate Thanksgiving.
That's Thanksgiving, not Christmas. I guess we got generations. There you go.
Holidays.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I love what they brought so far. But I really would have liked more, like Enterprise did. Enterprise showed how dangerous space can be.
Justin, your final thoughts?
Yeah, it was interesting to go through this because, yeah, usually when I think of the Next Generation, I think of, you know, exploration, moral and philosophical dilemmas, funny moments, stuff like that. I don't tend to think of scary moments or episodes. So it was interesting to look through and see what we can find. There's a good number that are really scary, even compared to other things that you see, but it wasn't a huge amount. I'm kind of okay with that because I don't tend to like things that scare me too much. But it was nice to see that, you know, in the midst of all these episodes, there's the variety of those things. And even the one that I found that wasn't in a scary episode. So I think they did that really well, except Sub Rosa. But otherwise, when they were trying to be scary, I think they were, and they accomplished it.
Yeah, definitely going through and wondering what you guys were going to pick and were we going to duplicate. I mean, I think we did pretty good, so which means that there are quite a bit of scary scenes, you know, throughout the series. And I think most of our picks were later in the series, which I think
except conspiracy.
Shows, yeah, except conspiracy. And I would have liked maybe more of like those psychological thrillers, like Frame of Mind. Like to me, that's gets into my head. And to me, that's what's scary. But I was just really surprised at the number of choices that we had, because I just don't think that Next Gen is all that scary. But then I was talking with my brother in preparation, is like, well, which ones, you know, do you think I could talk about? And man, we were just out on the deck coming up with all these scenes. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was very impressed with the number of scary scenes that we have to choose from. Well, it's been fun talking about spooky scenes in The Next Generation, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Warp 5.
Who is that musician band like that with the Greeblies?
The what?
Who are those weird looking neighbors that the Flintstones had? Like those monster neighbors? Were they the Greeblies?
Wow. I forget. That's a deep cut right there. I was about to say, dude, that's like 4 years old deep right there.
Yeah. To the journey!
I kind of figured he would just be able to like make another mobile emitter for the doctor. Wouldn't he?
He'd use his nanoprobes for that.
Yeah.
Right, put some nanoprobes on the job, they'll make the doctor a new mobile emitter.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Lickety split.
Can I have my mobile emitter? Oh, yeah. He never asked, though, did he?
No, he didn't.
If he'd asked him, he'd just been like, oh, yeah. Here you go.
Primitive Culture. A look at history and culture through Star Trek.
There is very much in Star Trek a kind of essentially moral worldview that is pertaining culturally in that world in the same way as, you know, say in the Arthurian court, you have this kind of moral world.
You sound like you're agreeing with Dr. McCoy that this is medievalism.
Nothing wrong with medievalism.
Well, as you were talking.
Good medievalism, you know.
Literary Treks.
Yeah, you know, I think I made what little hints I gave in previous books about who had done it and why. I left sort of vague, but there were a couple of details that I had to hit because I'd seeded them in earlier novels.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's shows, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place is to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference. That's our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. And who knows, your comment might be read on a future episode.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Earl Grey. That will come right to us. And if you send us an email, we might read that on the show as well. You can also find the network on Twitter at trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. So, Amy, where can people find you to discuss their scary dreams with our in-house counselor?
Well, you can find me here on the network. I host The Edge and also do a little mini show called Postcards from the Edge. And those are our episodes. Those are our podcasts on the new Discovery. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson. But my favorite place is right here in the Babel Conference. Richard, if people want to reveal their deepest fears from TNG, where can they contact you?
There's a corn maze that I always go to. It's called Fright Me. No, I'm just kidding. Well, they could find me on the Payroll Conference. I pop in here and there. And I also am on Twitter, and my handle is xransom. Justin, where can people share their spooky scenes from TNG with you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. Currently tweeting out my Season 3 TNG rewatch. And also, you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook.
If you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our patrons' website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find the details at patreon.com/trekfm. And we'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producers, Norman Lau, Justin Ozer, and Michael Huter. Thank you so much for supporting Earl Grey. So join us next week for another cup of Earl Grey.
With mint frosting.
Where are you?